Welcome. We're glad that you're here. I love this time of year, and I know that for everyone it can bring about a lot of different feelings and a lot of different emotions, and we want to be sensitive to that. But this morning I am feeling such a sense of joy. It has been a week where joy was hard to find at times for me, which is interesting because last week our sermon was on what? Digging deep to find that joy. And isn't it sometimes when we're pursuing one thing, that's the thing that the enemy wants to come and try to attack, right? To try to steal. And yet God gave so many opportunities this week for me to dig deep and to find that joy, to remember that I can have joy in all circumstances because of Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to continue on in our theme of joy coming in the manger and secured on the cross now gives us that joy in all circumstances. But of course, this week, we're moving on to love, to the Advent theme of love. Now, love is beautiful, isn't it? Love is such a precious gift. When any of my kids come up to me and just genuinely say, "Mom, I love you," it's the best feeling in the world. Now, if they say, "Mom, I love you, so can you," you know, the feeling kind of dissipates. But I especially love it. Of course, I've got a 5-year-old at home, and he loves to climb into bed with me in the morning, and he'll just, you know, stroke my hair or something. And genuinely, this is what he does. And he'll just look at me. He'll wake me up. It's way too early. "Mama, I love you." And in that moment, my heart just melts. Like, it doesn't matter what time it is, buddy. Like, I love you too. In fact, a few weeks ago, he climbed into bed. This is a normal routine. It was early, and I was a little frustrated with how early it was and that stroke of the hair. "Mama, I love you." I'm like, "Thanks, buddy." Then he says, "Mom, you're so beautiful." And I was like, "You can have whatever you want today." Tyler loves to say, "I love you" to me. It's the great thing about my husband. He says it all the time. And of course, there are times when I'm like, "I know, I'm pretty great," right? But then there are other times when he says, "I love you," and I'm like, "Are you sure?" Right? First thing in the morning, when things are not as they should be, and he looks at me or he smells me and he's like, "I love you." And I sit there and I think, "Why? Why on earth do you love me?" But see, his love is genuine and it's not dependent on me. It comes from his heart. And that is what makes love so special. So this morning, as we learn about love, we're going to continue on with this pattern of love coming down in the manger. Love being secured on the cross, and now how love continues on through us, the church. When we read 1 John, which is the text for today, and this is genuinely, it is the book of love. John takes us on a journey, and it is the movement of God's love into our hearts and into the world. From the manger to the cross, and now to the church. At Christmas, we celebrate that love came down. We celebrate that love came down. Jesus came in the flesh into the manger. But love didn't stop at the manger, and it didn't even end at the cross. God's love is meant to live somewhere now and to continue to go out. So the question that John is really asking us is this: if his love came down to us at Christmas, if his love came down to us through Jesus, where is it going now? So let's read this morning from 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read from verses 7 to 12. John says this: "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. What a beautiful passage of scripture. And John begins with this really bold statement in verse 8. He says, God is love. John doesn't say God loves or God is loving. That's not where he stops. He says, God is love. See, love isn't something just that God does occasionally, and I think that we need to remember that because sometimes we feel unworthy of his love, just like I do certain mornings when Tyler leans over and says, I love you, and I'm like, I'm at my worst. How is that possible? But see, love is not something that God just does on occasion. It is who he is. His love comes from himself. It is self-originating. This means that love doesn't come from something outside of God, but it is his nature. It is who he is. His divine nature is love. This is so contrary to how you and I love. Okay? It's not typically how we think about love because for us, love is something that usually comes from the outside. There's usually something that evokes this response of love or motivates us to love another person. We do not naturally love that which is unlovely. Okay? If you think you do, you're kind of kidding yourself. It's not a natural response within us to love something that is unlovable. The fact that we could even have that word in our language or in our vocabulary that something or someone is unlovable proves just that. To love that which is unlovely is not a natural response. However, for God, it is because God is love. He isn't waiting for perfection. Say amen. Amen. Yes. He isn't waiting for us to be lovable. God is love. It's his essence. It is his nature. It is his choice to love us no matter what. That's good news. Verse 9 says this, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son. Verse 10, this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. See, what God did is he put love on display. He showed us by sending Jesus. The scriptures say that God made visible his love. God didn't just tell us that he loved us. He showed us his love by sending Jesus. John 3:16, we sang it this morning. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. Love came down and dwelled among us. See, what these verses tell us in 1 John is that God's love for us does not rest on any account of our own loveliness. God isn't waiting for us to be lovable. God loves us despite the fact that when he sent Jesus, we weren't all that lovely. The Bible tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. His great love shown, displayed, put on display for the world to see, I love you. And I love you even when you are unlovable. We were sinners. We were deserving only his wrath. But God loved us. And he sent Jesus to be the sacrifice in our place. What the manger tells us is so important. The manger tells us that God moved toward us before we were even thinking of moving toward him. God moved toward us. He sent his one and only son, and he said, here is my gift of love for you. But the manger was not the final destination. See, love is not just sentimental. It's not just a feeling that we feel. Love is sacrificial. Love moved from the manger to the cross. When the Bible talks in 1 John chapter 4 and says that Jesus came as a sacrifice, another version of the Bible says that he came as our propitiation. It's a big word. It's a confusing word. What it means is that Jesus took the full weight of God's wrath, of his just wrath against sin. That Jesus took our place, and he took our place at the cross. See, it's at the cross where sin is dealt with once and for all. It's at the cross that justice is satisfied. It's at the cross when forgiveness is poured out, when it is given and it is received. The cross shows us two things at the same time. First, it shows us how serious sin is. That there had to be a penalty for our sin. Someone had to die. But what the cross also shows us is how deep God's love goes for us. The unlovable, while we were still sinners, he died for us. If you ever wonder, could God really love me? Man, I messed up bad this week. Could God still love me? Man, look at what I did. Look at where I've come from. How could God love me? I want you to do something. Don't look at those circumstances. Don't look at those feelings. Look at the cross of Jesus. Because it is at the cross that you know God loves you. No matter what, for all time. The cross declares your sin was heavy. Your penalty was death, but you are more loved than you could ever imagine. And Jesus went in your place. Love came down in the manger. Love paid the price on the cross. And now in 1 John chapter 4, John turns a corner, and in verse 11, he says, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. This is not a suggestion. This is not optional. This is not just a good thought. This is the word of God. He says, if God gave his son for us, we don't get to opt out of loving others. It's not an option. When John wrote this is very interesting. He was actually countering some major opposing thought and teaching at the time. In fact, Greek philosophy at the time was teaching that the highest form of love was love toward that which was worthy of love. That's what the major teaching was at that time in the world that John was writing this to. There was no requirement or expectation to love anything that was unlovely, to love anything that was undeserving of love. And here comes John, which I love this. You're going to hear love a lot this morning. Here comes John, who the Bible, he himself, John, writes that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. He writes a lot about love, this John. But here comes John, and he's saying, hey, if God is love, and if sending of Jesus is the supreme example of his love, then the highest form of love is to love the unlovely. It came in complete opposition to what the world was teaching at that time. John was saying, Jesus shows us that the greatest form of love is to love those who appear or think that they are unlovable. It's not easy, is it? See, the greatest form of love, the love of Jesus, came through his sacrifice. It was a sacrificial love. So we must know that in order for us to love like Jesus did, it will require sacrifice. It will require sacrifice because it is a sacrificial type of love. The love spoken about here in John's letter is this selfless, unconditional love. The Greek word for this type of love is agape. Agape love is this selfless type of love. The best way that I can illustrate it is to talk about the love that a mother has to her baby. Lindsay, I think of you. I think of your love for your babies. The baby only takes, right? If you've ever had a baby, you know that all babies do is take. They take your sleep. They take food from you. They take brain cells. Every mother knows you just get dumber and dumber with every baby that you have. My kids were laughing at me last night as I was trying to do math. It went spectacularly badly. But I've had four kids, so I blame it all on you. They take your sanity. And yet, Lindsay, what do you keep doing? You keep getting up in the middle of the night to love that baby. You continue feeding them. You continue pouring everything out for that baby, not because they deserve it. They might be cute when they're sleeping, but they don't deserve it. But because your love for them is selfless, it is unconditional. It's unconditional. That is the type of love, agape love, that John is writing about here. And then in verse 12, John says this: "No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us." No one has ever seen God, but they can see his love. God's presence is seen, it is known, it is felt, it is understood by others when we love each other. By loving others, it is so clear, the scripture says, that God is living in us. It is his spirit that moves us to do the thing that we could not do on our own, to show that type of agape love, the undeserved love. The manger is where love came down. The cross is where love paid the price. The church, us, we are where and how God's love now shines out to our world. We are meant to shine his love. We are meant to be a lampstand. God's love becomes visible when his people love like he did, when we love sacrificially. Now, the sacrifice that you and I make, it's going to be different than the sacrifice that Jesus made. But our love is meant to be sacrificial. The Bible tells us that love is perfected when it's practiced. See, church, when we step out in love, Jesus' love is shining through us. I want you to imagine for a moment that you walk into a dark room and there's a lamp sitting there, okay? There's a lamp, it should work, the bulb is there, you've got a power cord, everything is there. But when the power cord is unplugged, it doesn't matter what you do, there's no light that's going to come from this, right? We are meant to be a lampstand to shine the love of God to our world. We cannot do that on our own. The only way that we can do it is through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we have everything within us that we need. We have love that has come down, love that was poured out on the cross. If you have accepted the Holy Spirit, which you have if you follow Jesus, he is in you. He is moving. He is giving you the power to love. Are you plugged into the Holy Spirit so that his love can shine out? Because see, when we have the power and we plug it into the power source, then our light can shine to the world. The love of Jesus can shine to our world. Until the power flows, everything will remain dark. Darkness and confusion is what happens when the church knows about God's love, but doesn't shine it out. See, God has already supplied the power through his Holy Spirit. We just got to plug into that. Say, God, would you help me to do what I can't do on my own? Would you help me to shine your love? Our calling is so simple. Our calling is to let God's love shine, but such a simple message, it's so hard to do. It's so hard to do when the people that God tells us to love are the ones that in our flesh we would say they are unlovable. It can be hard to apply. I've joked many times, it might not be the best joke, but I would say things like, man, I would be a great Christian if it weren't for all the people. I would be an awesome pastor if it weren't for all the people. Because people are messy. So if we're not plugged into the Holy Spirit, if we are not tapped into his power, our love will be weak. But when we say love came down in a manger, love was secured on the cross, now Holy Spirit, would you so fill me with that sacrificial love that I can love whoever you put in my path. I want to love the unlovable. To love sacrificially. The reality is that it is my sin that makes it difficult to love sometimes. It's my pride. It's my sin. It's my selfishness that gets in the way. When we lay that down at the foot of the cross and we say, God, I want to love like you do, we can love sacrificially because love is a sacrifice. This Advent season, the world needs to see the visible love of God through us. So as you go through this week and starting in just a few minutes, I want to encourage you to show love, to think about love, to practice the love of God, the sacrificial agape love, by asking yourself two questions. Who and where? It's very simple to remember. Who and where? Who needs to see God's love through you this week? Who needs to see the sacrificial agape selfless love through you this week? Guaranteed, there are some customer service people who need the love of God this week. Oh, Jesus, would you help me to be that person who can show them love? But seriously, who needs to see and experience and know the love of God? Who is he putting in your path this week? Who is that opportunity to show that type of love? And then where is God calling you to love, even if it costs you? Where is he calling you to move, to go, to be forward in, to say, I'm going here because God is calling me here, to be sensitive to his leading, to his movement, to be that light that shines out into our world? Where is he calling me so that I can continue to show his love? Where are my feet supposed to step this week to show love? Who and where? Because love came down on Christmas. Love came down in the manger. His name is Jesus. Love paid the price, the penalty for sin on the cross. His name is Jesus. And now through you, through me, through the church, love goes out. Love shines out like that lamp shining through the darkness because Jesus is love. Love is not something that is always easy. It's a simple message. Show love. But it takes sacrifice, it takes intention, and it takes the power of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, as we close, I want to do a different type of response today. I just want to take a couple of minutes. We've got a song that we're going to play, and the words will be up on the screen. But as you just listen to the words of this song, you'll recognize them from the poem that I read earlier. Love came down at Christmas. I want you to think of those two questions. Who am I to show love to this week? Where is God leading me to show his love, to be that sacrifice that he wants me to be? And just allow the Holy Spirit to fill you as you hear from him how he wants you to shine out his love. So let's do that for a couple of minutes. Just stay in this posture. In the end.